This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
1 hour to go until our Padres roundtable starts at 10 o'clock. It is brought to you by Roundtable Pizza, absolute pizza royalty, commercial free from 10 to 11. Be joined by the crew over in our sound space. Got our roundtable report coming up as well. You know, I think if the Padres hadn't been able to get a hit in the first couple of innings with a runner in scoring position, remember they had two out rally in the second. They got first and second, didn't get anyone home. They had the Tatis double. They had the guy in second base, Chance. Couldn't get anyone home there. Might have been a different game. You just never put any pressure on the Dodgers. It's one thing to have your high-leverage relievers coming in and putting up some zeros. I mean, they were going to get some 1-2-3 innings with those arms and how nasty they are. But it's a much different thing if you've got that game. It's close, and every pitch is, you know, high stress. They didn't make him throw a lot of high stress pitches in that game yesterday. An early lead, a 5-run lead. You can pitch very comfortably and know, hey, a solo home run doesn't hurt me. I can attack the zone. I can go after it. I don't have to be too fine. Don't worry, you know, don't fall behind. Don't walk anybody. It just, the Dodgers were in a good position that entire game because of how the first 3 innings played out.
I was texting some buddies and saying, we got to scratch some runs out. We got to scratch some runs out. We got to make, you know, even if it's 1-2, whatever, you got to make these guys sweat a little bit. And, you know, it just never materialized, man. It really was tough. It just worked out perfectly for LA last night. But listen, only counts as one loss, and you play Friday.
Do you think Dave Roberts, because, you know, he manager wants to instill some discipline in his team, will bench Shohei for running through a stop sign? Teach him a lesson. Like, you've got to watch Dino Ebel, your third base coach. When he throws up a stop sign and you run right through it, what kind of message does that send when you put him in the starting lineup the next day? There's no discipline there. That's chaos. He should sit for a day, learn his lesson, and then, you know, come back next season knowing I've got to look for my third base coach when he throws up a stop sign.
Some people are going to hear you and believe that that's your real opinion. I was more shocked.
A bad teammate right there.
I was more shocked at his verbal abuse of the umpires last night. My son saw it.
Where's the MLBUA post talking about how
this
is unacceptable?
Where's Ken Rosenthal's article?
Well, I don't know. I assume he was speaking Japanese. I don't know what the translation is.
Stupid F is the same in English as it is in Japanese.
Well, you got to think of, if Rosenthal writes a hit piece on Otani, then he's kicked out of both dugouts.
Adam in the chat said that's a benchable offense. Not a benchable offense. Maybe you find Adam. We know he was joking.
Come on. I mean, the umpire didn't do anything wrong. He was pointing fair.
It was so funny.
If the ball hadn't ticked off Manny's glove, it was an unbelievable coincidence of events.
People were saying, the guy that did it is from Escondido, too. Mark Rippinger, he's from Escondido. They're like, oh, the fix is in.
You saw how surprised he was. Like, did that just hit me? How did that happen?
Dave Roberts.
There's nothing he can do about that.
He threw the biggest hissy fit that I've ever seen about it. And it's just, it's one of those.
He was standing where he was supposed to stand. Boom. He was signaling fair the way he was supposed to signal it. The ball was going to be well past him, and then it ticked off Manny's glove and hit him in the arm. I mean, what are you going to do? He didn't do anything wrong. It was bad luck for the Dodgers, you know. Didn't have any impact on the game ultimately whatsoever.
Well, after my son seeing it, he's been calling me a stupid F the whole time. So thanks a lot, Shohei, for that. Great influence that you are on the
game.
And, youth.
Of course, you know, like Otani's thinking, this is a double down the line. Why am I getting thrown out? Why do I need to even look at the third base coach here? How did they throw me out here? What did I miss?
Dude, what a pick, by the way, from Higgy. Oh, my God. Across his body to get the tag, and it was really, really something.
Yeah, one of the few highlights of the game for the Padres, and it required an incredible stroke of luck for it to happen
real.
All right, let's get some headlines. Paulie's got some news for us. It is time for the Rindle Report. and get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3, The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy?
All right.
Good morning, my friends.
Good morning.
We will start off with a update to a story that we haven't talked about in a while, but it involves a friend of the show, talking about Jim Boo Trotter, formerly with the NFL Network and ESPN and Sports Illustrated. He has bounced around. I don't believe he's still with The Athletic, but I know he went there after he was fired from the NFL Network. Relieved of duties, and if you don't remember, it was pretty controversial. He had taken Roger Goodell to task pretty hard at a press conference. I think it was a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yearly commissioners, you know, State of the Union type address, and they take questions from the media, and Jim was hitting him pretty hard about equality in the newsroom at NFL Network,
yeah,
and representation for people of color, and Roger Goodell was like visibly uncomfortable.
He was flummoxed by it.
Yeah. And then Jim Trotter was fired. Read into that what you will.
Correct.
Jim Trotter sued the NFL for discrimination, and this was back in like 2023, I believe, beginning of 23. And Jim Trotter posted yesterday a statement: the NFL and I have agreed to resolve my lawsuit. I will be creating a scholarship foundation for journalism students at HBCUs, and the NFL has agreed to make a donation in support thereof. I am proud to have the opportunity to help and support HBCU students achieve their goals and dreams, just as scholarships afforded me those opportunities when I was a student at Howard University.
Hell yeah, man.
I think
love
that's
that.
Great.
Paying it forward. Jim's a good dude.
Knowing Jim, this is a win. This is a win. He wasn't doing this because he wanted to get some big giant payday from the NFL. I'm sure it was a massive, massive headache having to go up against, you know, hire lawyers, go up against the NFL's endless legal team. That was not why he did this. He did it on principle, and he did it maybe to do some good. And looks like he will. So, you know, congratulations to Jim Trotter. Good luck, the Work Plan Pray Foundation, and aiding students at historically black colleges and universities with scholarships. Absolute worthy end result to how this, you know, played out. And hopefully he feel satisfied. And, you know, best of luck always to Jim Trotter with whatever he's doing next.
Yes, absolutely. All right, we'll move on. I got some fun audio. I wanted to try something a little bit differently. There were no positive highlights from the Padres game yesterday.
No.
But we did talk about it in our 7 o'clock hour. We were going around Major League Baseball, talking about the other three playoff games yesterday. And I think, I guess it's debatable, but for me, the play of the postseason so far has to belong to Francisco Lindor sending the Mets into the NLCS with that massive grand slam.
If it wasn't
last
Pete
night.
Alonso in the last round sending the Mets into the NLDS with a massive ninth inning home run.
The stakes raise, though, every round that you move forward, and that grand slam just ripped the soul from the Phillies.
Oh, man, it was gnarly to watch.
So I've got all the calls
for
Francisco Lindor. Now, I don't believe our Korean friends were on the broadcast for that game, so I don't have the Korean call, but we do have four calls for you. We'll start with just the FS1 television call if you weren't watching yesterday.
The 2-1. Lindor towards right center field. This one is back. It is gone! Grand slam! And Lindor puts the Mets on top! The biggest swing of the season for New York!
Pretty good national call
good.
Right
solid
there.
National
very
call.
Good.
You can only imagine Mets radio ramped it up just a little bit. This was their call yesterday.
Now the pitch. Swinging a drive towards the gap in right center. It's pretty deep. It's back near the wall. It's gone. It's gone. Francisco Lindor. He may have just outdone himself. He has hit a grand slam into the Phillies bullpen in right center field. The Mets are leading by a score of 4-1. They were famished for the big hit all night, and Francisco Lindor just provided a feast. Mets 4, Phillies 1 here in the sixth inning.
I like that.
Famished for the big hit, and he just provided a feast.
That's the guy. For Francisco Lindor was 10, 12 days ago, was crawling into home plate. Crawling. Because his back was bothering him so badly. Just phenomenal.
That was the winning team's radio call, of course. That means we have to hear how it sounded for the Phillies, I believe, on Odyssey sister station.
WIP.
2-1. Here's the pitch. Swung on. Belted. Up the alley. Right center. And that ball is gone. Francisco Lindor turns the game around. A grand slam for Lindor. Mets lead 4-1 here in the bottom of the sixth.
Pretty straightforward.
Now, usually a team hits a grand slam and they win. The Dodgers hit a grand slam, but they lost.
That's true.
Yeah.
First time that's ever happened, I think, in the playoffs, right?
I don't know if it's the first time. It's got to be rare.
What was the there was a stat.
It was
the
hitting a grand slam against a team that didn't score after the second inning.
Yeah.
And didn't score more than one inning and still lose the game. Has never happened in baseball history.
Now, typically when we do all the calls, they're almost exclusively Padres moments. This is the Francisco Lindor Grand Slam. Eddie Ortega, the Spanish radio broadcaster for the Padres, he's the GOAT. He is the undisputed. He's just the best. Met Spanish radio call. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Bien Esteves, lanzamiento, saca batazo, peligroso, profundo para el central, la pelota, está tomando altura, de locura en el City Field, recogiendo porque los Mets, Paquito Lindor, con las bases llenas.
Full soccer. I heard peligroso in the beginning. Dangerous. And then the grand slam. And yeah, the long extended call. Crushed like it. The goal.
Really, but really, really good
the grand
call.
Slam. That was nice. That was well done. I wonder how many, I mean, in a city like New York, melting pot of the entire world.
Yes.
And you got fans, I'm sure the Yankees and Mets, tons of fans in many different languages. I wonder how many different languages they make their broadcasts somehow available in. What, like, it's worth having broadcasters
from
in like,
all different,
like 10 or 12 different languages for
probably,
I mean,
a
you
good
got
idea.
So many people in there that probably would love to hear the game in their native tongue.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Padres have three different languages at least of broadcasts, and
probably
I'm surprised, is there not a Japanese Padres
a Japanese,
at some point? I don't know if we've heard that one. We hear Korean and Spanish and English all the time, but you could have Japanese as well. And I mean, the Mets have Kodai Senga, huge star in Japan as well, so it makes it worth it for people in Japan to be able to hear those games internationally. Just wondering, curious how many.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they do it remotely, even from overseas, maybe. I'm not sure.
There's only so many radio booths in a ballpark. You can't all be sitting up there. Just a list of international flags. Like, here we are. All right, here's the Dutch call.
How great.
The Mets.
Oh, Francisco.
Here's what it sounds like in Farsi.
You got one more, Paulie?
I do. It is spooky season, October.
Boy.
But it's actually not even when you get to October that you start seeing the Spirit Halloween stores going back up. That's like September, maybe even August.
August now, yeah.
You'll start seeing the empty storefront and the Spirit Halloween sign goes up. And if you got kids, costumes, whatever that you need, that's the go-to.
I always picture the executives at Spirit Halloween like licking their chops. Ooh, another Staples just went out of business. We are go, boys. It is time for Spirit Halloween.
Move in. Do they get like, like in July, they're all on like beach vacations. They're like, I got to get my ass back to work. August is here. Let's get the stores fired up.
Do they like drive of work?
They drive around looking for like box stores that are going out of business. Ooh, there's one we can take over. Oh, there's one we can take over.
No, what is that? A Bed Bath and Beyond?
No, that's us.
Let's take it.
That's us.
So Spirit Halloween you know, you see like the memes and stuff. And
the funniest. When great. If we lose, you'll see it on Petco. On Petco.
Petco.
If they lose, you'll see the Dodgers.
100%.
It may. By the way, I've seen it a billion times. Makes me laugh every year. Every single year, I'm like, yes, the Spirit Halloween memes are here.
Well, here's the thing, Spirit Halloween. Even just for a month or 2 months or whatever the length that they are open, it's such a success that Spirit Halloween is adding Spirit Christmas stores this year.
Spirit Christmas.
So, like, I was at Costco, like, in September, so, like, 2 weeks ago, and they had Christmas trees. All the Christmas decorations were already up. I'm like, it's not even October yet. But if you go to Target, Walmart, wherever you go, you're going to start seeing Christmas stuff ramp up. But if you just want to go to one place to get all of your Christmas decorations and everything that you need, Spirit Christmas Store is on the way.
Well, it makes sense because, you know, the pumpkin patches then turn into Christmas tree lots.
Yep.
So a Spirit Halloween then turns into Spirit Christmas. The problem is now all of a sudden you need to lease this building for several more months. At some point, you might as well just take out the year lease, which means after Christmas,
Spirit Easter,
Spirit Valentine's, Spirit Easter, Spirit
Fourth
of July, Spirit Fourth of July. We're just going to have year-round
Memorial Day
Spirit stores.
Paulie, nobody celebrates Memorial Day except for you. You're the only one. Zach says he can't wait for the Hawk Tua display at Spirit Christmas. I'm all the way in. Can we get her to Dodger Stadium? She is clearly a good luck charm, and I know she's really riding with the Mets right now, but I'll help get Hawk Tua girl in a Padres jersey.
Spirit Arbor Day
on Friday.
I can see her being a fan of the Padres. They're fun, exciting.
Right.
Yeah. Not so fun or exciting
already,
last
the Mets
night.
Already have Grimace. They can't.
How many bits do you need?
You can't.
They have the pumpkin, too.
They have the pumpkin. They have the playoff pumpkin. Jesus. They have Grimace. They have Hawk Tua.
None of our bits are working anymore. Do we squash
signs.
This roach now, or do we keep riding him? I'm riding
I think
him.
We ride
we
him.
We got to ride with him.
Sweet baby.
But if things don't go our way, sacrificing that guy on Monday morning. Going to exterminate.
That's sad.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a sad, sad moment in show history.
I'm going to throw him in a fire. That's my threat, by the way, to my kids. Did you know that?
I'll throw
not
him
them,
in a fire?
Not them. Not them.
Okay, let's get on.
My bit is.
You don't extreme.
Not them.
I'm going to throw you in if you don't finish
fire.
Your dinner.
Call CBS if I ever do that. My bit to them, I don't know why, but I said it like 3 years ago, and I've been saying it since. If all this stuff isn't picked up off the floor, I'm going in the backyard, I'm lighting it on fire. Obviously, I never would. I don't even have a grill. I have a griddle. I'm going to griddle all of these Legos right now. Or these shoes. Or these socks.
Can you imagine how hard it would be to clean up
your
griddles melted plastic all over the
dude.
Place?
Get them all the time. Pick this stuff up or I'm burning it all in the backyard right now. they're like, all right, man. They're like, do it. Do it.
That was a wild transition.
It was. Air fryer it, Jay says. Oh, God. All right.
Paulie, thank you. That was the Rindle Report. We had a lot of success last hour other than the Dodger call who got in with our phone
callers. Are we doing
callers.
More open phones?
We don't
oh, my God.
I don't know. If you want to get it off your chest, I'm willing to open them back
Adam
up.
Over here and screen these calls.
833-288-0973 if you want to call us. We got a roundtable coming up at 10 o'clock. I think felt like a good interregnum between now and the roundtable, if you want to call us. 833-288.
Feels like a massive punt is what it feels
0973.
Can we not come up with anything better?
We have only so many ideas.
That's
and,
true.
You know, our listeners are smart. Tier ones are smart. You may have thought of something.
My man's
that
sitting on 10 different topics for the roundtable.
We didn't think of. I'll break out a roundtable topic or two if you want as
all right,
well.
Do that.
Coming up after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Some people are tweeting or putting in the chat as well, Benny. They said, I feel better after listening to your show this morning. And I thank you for that. I feel worse.
You feel worse?
I do, man. I do. It's just how I'm wired. I'm nervous. I just get nervous.
Well, of course you're going to be nervous. The one thing about this team that entirely through the 162-game season and now the playoffs, every time that they have needed to turn it around, they have.
That's true.
You know, I mean, even in the first half of the season, you know, when they had those five, there's a number of times in the first half of the season with the five-game losing streak, you go, if they don't turn it around soon, they're going to bury themselves. But they did every time. Second half of the season, Every time they lost a couple of games, they turned it back around again. When they lost to the Dodgers in game one, they turned it around and won games two and three. Every single time they've been asked to bounce back from something, they have successfully done so this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man.
It's the one constant character-defining trait of the 2024 San Diego Padres. Doesn't mean they're going to win tomorrow, but certainly there's no reason you should feel like worried, like they've fallen apart, they're not going to be able to figure it out, yeah, and they can't bounce back. No, they can. They absolutely have many, 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 many times, and I don't think there's going to be an ounce of worry in that clubhouse that they're not going to go out and perform well in the game tomorrow. The only worry is that the Dodgers could also perform very well, and when two teams perform well in a baseball game, it tends to come down to, you know, maybe a lucky break or two, you know, a ball that falls in or one that doesn't fall in. It's not something you can totally control.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw our buddy Clayton just DM me. He said, I saw a fun stat. They played 18 innings of baseball at Petco Park for the NLDS. Padres have only scored in one of them, and the series is tied. You did enough to win that game the other night, and you did enough to lose that game last night. And we needed a split in L.A. They needed a split in Petco. We each got it. Again, blow for blow, blow for blow. And if you're looking at it, and I've learned not to do this, right? You can't do it anymore. You can't look on paper and go, well, we're very clearly set up better to win this game. Because if you were going to do that, last night's paper would have said, oh, Padres by, you know, Padres no problem. You know, Freddie Freeman's out of the lineup, bullpen day. You've got Dylan Cease, albeit on short rest. But, yeah, you like your chances. Now, it really, as you mentioned earlier, the odds are essentially a coin flip. 50.5% to 49.5%.
According to FanGraphs.
That is a legitimate, anybody's ball game. So you're right, man. It's going to come down to winning on the margins. It's going to be the extra base you take. It's going to be the non-bobble of a throw. It's going to be the sprinting down the line. It's going to be, you know, maybe something like that.
But leave it all out there.
Leave it all out there. And then one thing these guys have done for us the entire season is they've inspired us a lot. They're an inspiring bunch of dudes. And I hope that continues.
You know, it's strange. Ben said earlier in the show that yesterday may have been the worst home performance all year. Now, I don't disagree with that. The NLDS in a clinching game, not a great time for that game to happen. Exactly. But the fact that we can pretty easily identify, like, yeah, that was probably the worst game they've played all year, at yeah, least at home, that tells me they haven't, like, this does not happen very often.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like, they bounce back, and they bounce back well.
And we say it was bad because they lost 8-0 and they didn't score. I mean, Eno Saris told us wasn't any real thing that he saw concerning in the offense. Every starter except Higashioka had a hard hit ball. They had 7 hits. You know,
it was bad.
Xander did commit that error, which was not good, but it wasn't that he didn't get down. Does it make a difference to you? You coach baseball now with your kids. If a kid gets down all the way to the ground and the ball jumps over his mitt, for me, that's like less of an error than the one where you don't get down enough and it goes under your mitt.
There's 6.
Yeah, I know. But, so, you know,
I don't chew any player out error ever.
Right.
Never.
But I'm just saying.
Never. I'm going to throw you in. If you make another error, I'm going to throw you in a fire.
Xander definitely, you know, he got a tough hop that got above his glove.
Xander's
got
to make that play.
Yeah.
Come on.
Should have been a double play.
He's the first one to tell you that. I'm positive.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the old, I nonchalanted it too much. He was down, all the way down, and the ball bounced over his glove, not under his glove.
Yes.
So, anyway, I was, the only thing that got me a little emotional yesterday was the not knowing. You know, most seasons, you go to Petco Park a bunch, and you get to know, you know, Frank in the elevator, the media elevator, and, you know, Bill and press box and Sandy at the gate that scans your pass when you
Sandy
go in.
So much. She's
great.
The sweetest angel I've ever met.
You know, people who work in the lunchroom there, and as I'm walking out, and you know, I see everyone in the elevator, and I go, I will see you.
Maybe
I don't know. I hope I see you on Sunday game one of the NLCS, but it's possible I don't see you again until next April. I don't want to say goodbye. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. The season's not over. I can't say my goodbyes to you, but at the same time, I'm not guaranteed that I'm going to see you again for months and months and months. And that was the one thing that got me a little bit as I walked out. Like,
sure.
Am I walking out of Petco Park for the last time in, you know, 6 months? Is that really going to... I just don't... That's why I came to this morning and felt somewhat calm and confident. I didn't feel like I was walking out of Petco Park for the last time in months. I feel like I'm going to be back very soon. That's why I think the Padres are going to get it done.
Hope so.
I think they'd get it done tomorrow.
I hope so.
And then we're all back there on Sunday, getting stressed all over again.
Can't decide what I want to do for the game. Ryan Phillips, our buddy, tweeted, should we go do a watch party somewhere? And I thought about that. Like, go do, like, an unofficial watch party, like, come drink with Bennewitz. Paul, you're going to be in Palm Springs living it up out there.
No, I'm going to be in
Bennewitz watch party in Palm Springs with Paulie.
Come on.
We crashed the wedding.
Paulie would like to see you at the wedding, because you're off, actually, Friday night. It's like, you've got a Thursday tonight.
Yeah. Thursday, and then tonight's like the welcome dinner and rehearsal.
And then
they've got
nothing for you tomorrow, so you're on your own.
Correct.
You can host your own Ben and Woods Palm Springs watch party.
I was looking at the MLB playoff schedule like a month ago, and I'm like, okay, if we get to the NLDS, probably won't have home field advantage. So game five, if necessary, you're going to be on the road. I should be good that Friday.
And here we are.
Here we are.
But yeah, so I mean, I'll get to watch it at least. I'm not going to be like,
yeah, how are you
sitting in a
watch?
Ceremony? But I mean, it's nationally televised. Like, I could watch from our hotel room or go to a bar or something.
Because the wedding's on Saturday.
Correct.
Okay.
It's actually tomorrow's game. The other ones have been on FS1. Tomorrow's game is actually on Real Fox. So it'll be on in every hotel room, every TV. Every TV that I've ever seen gets Fox, no matter where you are. So
That's true.
You should be able to watch the game no matter what tomorrow.
That is absolutely true.
Can't do anything about Joe Davis and John Smoltz.
No.
They will still be there, but you don't need a... Yeah, like our TV station, my cable box, doesn't get FS1. It's so annoying. I mean, I can get the engineers to like call it up on a satellite and feed it to me, but my actual cable box does not get FS1 for some reason. So, but at Fox, yeah, you get that pretty much everywhere. All right, we're going to take our final timeout, come back, last segment of Ben and Woods before the roundtable. I've got, I'll break out one of my roundtable topics for you a little bit early that you can speculate on when we come back on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I was watching one of the Dodgers players get interviewed after the game. Might have even been ESPN. I want to say it was Will Smith.
Is it at 7 Mile Casino?
No. And he said that the team was really, really loose before the game yesterday. In fact, they were playing mini golf in their clubhouse.
It's a good bit.
To stay loose.
The fake loose bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens. You know, have to convince yourself. Baseball players are really like that, where they're like, no, I'm cool. I'm so laid back right now, you have no idea. And your feet under the water are paddling a million miles an hour, you know. But those guys are professionals, man. They don't have – those guys have been in these big moments before. So it wouldn't surprise me if they were actually loose.
So, you know, I've been in the visitors' clubhouse at Petco Park before, and I was trying to think, how would you set up a mini golf course in there? What are you using as the holes, did you bring putters and balls with you? Like, who set this up, the mini golf tournament in the Dodgers clubhouse before the game? And is this really the reason why you were loose and you came out and won? Is this genius managing by Dave Roberts? Is this a player inspired?
I'm sure he didn't do it. I'm sure it was just,
I was struck by it. There was no follow-up questions to the mini golf. I would have gone, like, how many holes was this?
Of course you would have.
I wanted to know all the... We're using like the color, like the two-tone golf balls, like miniature golf, or you're just using regular Callaway Chrome Tours as your balls. I was very interested in the mini golf at Petco Park yesterday.
Maybe they
want to come back for the links at Petco Park later. If they love playing golf at Petco Park so much, a couple months, they can do the links.
Is that your roundtable question?
No, here's the roundtable question.
Hour and 20 left.
All right, here's the roundtable question, and I'll give you a second to think.
How dare you leave me?
I'll give you a second
tomorrow.
To think about it.
How dare you?
Give you a second to think about it.
You want to come to Palm Springs?
I'm taking tomorrow off. I'm going to Palm Springs with
if
Paul.
You could, here's the roundtable question. If you could go back and change one decision from the first four games of this series, presumably one made by Mike Schilt, but any decision in the first four games of this series, what would you go back and change? Think that over, and we'll answer that little roundtable preview question right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. I think this is a tough one to actually go back. And maybe this is a credit to Mike Schilt. I think there's an obvious one that a lot of people are screaming at. Don't start Dylan Cease on 3 days rest. And that's a valid answer. I just want to know that what would you have done?
We all said this morning that we would do that again.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, I was okay with that decision. I'm still okay with that decision, largely because I don't know what else I would have wanted instead. I still don't think Martin Perez was the right answer. And even if he did throw better than Dylan Cease did, it doesn't help you win that game.
Right.
It doesn't change anything. You're trying to change something. Which then brings me back to game one. Like, what could you have done differently? And I think, to me, the biggest change that I would make was I'd go after Mookie Betts with two strikes and not intentionally walk him there.
Yeah,
I could go back. In game one, when you had two strikes on him, a 2-2 count, I would have just pitched at him. Instead, the inning ended up getting to Teoscar Hernandez, who out that two-run single off Jeremiah Estrada. Turned out to be the difference in the game.
Yeah, man, I it's a good one. That's certainly a good one. Somebody in the chat said, game one, use Yu Darvish instead of Dylan Cease, which is a pretty good answer there. Again, our fan base is no different than any other fan base, where we like to be reactionary after things happen, which is just so easy to do. I will say that inning, for the first time all season, looked a little bit spirally. Like, oh God, it just sped up. It was a small little thing, but if you remember, Schilt held up four fingers, but Ruben was on his way out. Then Schilt stopped him. Ruben did the start and the stop and then walked out to talk to the pitcher. That one to me was like, oh, this feels a little bit like it's getting away from us. And it did. You know, that inning spiraled a little bit, but I don't think any of us could ever understand how quick that game moves, and especially a game last night, which is why I want to give credit to Dave Roberts. Managed his tail off last night, no question. Every time you thought you could counter, you couldn't. He had a guy ready to go, and it just lined up perfectly. Can he do that again in a game five in LA? I have no idea. It depends on what our top three in the order. You can have all the plans in place you want, just like A.J. Hinch yesterday. If Jose Ramirez gets a knock in the first inning, the plan has to change, right? A big, you know, drive in a run or whatever, like, the plan's got to change. So it's really up to our offense, man, in the first inning to set the tone.
You know, and it's easy to say, well, you know, when Shohei had a home run, I wish we had walked him. Well, obviously, but right. I'm talking about, like, legitimate. Would you have done something differently? And would you have pitched Shohei any differently this series? They've actually handled him pretty well. He's 4-for-16 with one home run, four RBI.
That's 250, man.
Struck out seven times, and he's walked twice. So that's a 250 average, .333 on base percentage.
That's about as good as you can hope for.
438 slugging and a 771 OPS.
That's below 800.
That's called containing Shohei Ohtani as well as any team has done all season long, essentially.
Yeah. Bro, Michael Jordan's going to score. It's a matter of, is he going to score 55 or are you going to limit him to 26?
That's something that you sign up for. 771 OPS for Shohei Ohtani.
They struck him out like six or seven times.
Seven times.
Yeah, the Dodger with the best OPS in the series is Mookie Betts, the guy who, 24 hours ago, everyone was saying, or, you know, 36 hours ago, everyone was saying, boy, this guy is the biggest struggling playoff, no-show in the history of Dodgers baseball. 1,056 OPS, best on their team in the postseason. Mookie Betts, right there. That's how quickly these things can change in a small sample size playoff series.
Knowing what you know now, maybe Fernando Tatis Jr. at the top. You know, I mean, as locked in, he's as locked in as I've ever seen him. So maybe that's something you do. Arise has really, he's really hurt us, you know, and I love Luis a lot. Great Padre. And when he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, which is getting two hits a night, at least setting the table for the big boys, it changes everything. You know, you're talking about a guy pitching out of the stretch instead of the windup, Benny. You're talking about, traffic on the base paths. You're talking about pressure just ratcheting up. When he gets on, you saw it. The very first game, very first AB, gets a knock, he comes around to score. That's what you need from your leadoff hitter, and he has not been delivering right now.
The tough thing about making a change before a game five, and I'm not saying that the Padres should or shouldn't make a change in their lineup, but if you think there's a better way to score runs and give your team a better chance to win, why haven't you been doing it already?
Yeah.
What changed so much between
2-2, I guess.
What changed so much, though, before yesterday and today?
Because you went loss.
No, yeah.
Win. So you're going to keep rolling, right?
See, yeah. Now that's superstitious type thinking.
No.
Not really. You're just rolling with the...
Don't fix what ain't broke.
Yeah.
1-2 in a row.
It's not superstition.
That's
not logical thinking, though. If you didn't think Luis Arraez was hitting well enough to be at the top of the lineup...
But you trust him to break out of it, but...
Then why don't you trust him today?
I'm not saying I don't. I'm saying if you were going to make a move, you could. And they don't have a game today.
But if you were going to make a move, you should have made it yesterday.
I would have been fine with that too.
Because they had won two in a row. If you think there's a better way to win a game, you should never let the results of previous games stop you or force you into making a change that you don't think is right.
Then you'd never make a change.
Well, yeah, you would. Yeah, absolutely. Jackson Merrill's been, solidly hitting for a few weeks. He looks like he's ready to handle a move up in the lineup. And you did it. They did it in September, but they moved him up after evidence and giving it some thought and deliberation.
But you just said you can't use yesterday's results to influence how you make the lineup the next day, and I think you can, right?
Well, I mean, if a guy truly looks like he's complete, Luis Arraez got a hit in his most recent at bat. If you're using the most recent results, you go, he's back. Let's put him. Why would you take him out of the top of the lineup? He just got a hit. Jurickson Profar got a hit in his last at bat yesterday as well. Are you really going to do something that you have been doing pretty much all season?
It probably
Arraez leading off. Jurickson batting third, Tatis batting second, Machado, fourth. That at least, until they made the switch with Merrill, that has been your 1-2-3-4. As soon as Tatis came back and those guys have been healthy, that's what you've been riding with. That gave you the best record in the second half. That has made you 4-2 in the playoffs, which is a better record than you even had in the second half of the season. This is exactly what has worked for you for months now.
You're going to change it right.
That's why they call it a panic move if you do it.
Yeah. One move that I was expecting, not necessarily calling for myself, but expecting that they've done all season long, bottom of the fifth inning, I think it was single walk, Higgy at the plate.
Yeah.
Now, Higgy's been on his fire with the big bat. And I guess that's what you're hoping for. I was expecting a bunt all the way.
What was the score then?
5-0.
5-0.
To me, watching that moment.
I would have been livid.
I know you would have. And I might have been too. I was expecting it. I was surprised Schilt didn't call for it.
Lefty on the mound, right in Vesia.
Yep. If you can get a run,
you've got to get a three-run homer, his fourth of the postseason.
I was picturing in that situation, Higgy can get you back into the game.
Me
with
too.
One swing
that's exactly. And he took a rip on one that I thought, oh my God, that was the one. And then Vesia threw a nasty slider down and in. It was over at that point. But yeah, I'm chasing five there with my 9-hole hitter. I'm fine with him swinging away. Just again, no execution last night.
Yeah, to come back from five, moving the runners over maybe helps you. Maybe get two if you get a single, but you need more than two. You need three times to score two runs to get there. The way to get a big inning is not to give up outs, and you needed a big inning there. I would have been on Woods' camp there. A bunt would have been.
I would not have liked it.
I would have been surprised
Schilt didn't call for it. It seemed like a move he might have made.
Now, if it was a one run or a two run game, okay,
it no brainer.
Okay, I could live with that. But in a 5-run game, you can't give up any of your outs. You may need every single one of those outs to put together a big inning to get back into the game.
In the fifth inning, I was reaching the point where I'm like, they haven't gotten anything going though, and if that.
Sparks
anything, go for it.
I mean, if a sack bunt sparks your team, you may be done for. You know what I mean? Down five runs, if that's what you're looking for. We'll see how they answer. I saw somebody in the chat saying I wanted to see a little more fire from the guys after last night's loss. And I disagree. I do. Just based on this person, knowing the personality of this team, we've talked a million times. They have an innate ability to flush crap games. And that was a crap game. They know it was a crap game. Jackson Merrill after was like this. They asked him a question. He goes, whew. Like, hey, man, that's over. We got to move forward. You know, just go play Padres baseball the way that you've done it. It's given you a really the second best away record in baseball this season. You played second best record on the road. Go do it, man. You just took it to them in Dodger Stadium. So go take it to them again.
When we came back after game one and did our show, I made a big point. Xander Bogaerts, what he said after the loss in game one, that it
They're
was
all bad.
Every playoff loss
is excruciating.
And it stings. And if you want to win a championship,
you got to wear
you
it.
You have to be able to bounce back from those.
You have to. You have to be able to wear it. You just do.
And they did in game one brilliantly and came back in game two like game one never happened. I mean, like it never happened. They're now going to have to do it again from game four to game five. And if they do that, they will have a very good chance to win tomorrow night at Dodger Stadium.
And we all agree that if Dave Roberts goes out and employs the exact same system that they used last night, he can justify that. Yes, he 100%. No one in L.A. is going to be saying, you have a $325 million starting pitcher in Yamamoto you didn't start. I think it would be the opposite. If you started Yamamoto, that's when they start coming for your head because we've crushed that guy.
We've been the last 30 seconds here, so this is probably a topic for tomorrow. Is Dave Roberts even the one who makes these decisions for the Dodgers? Or is Andrew Friedman telling him, here's what we're doing
yeah,
today?
Yeah, this is what's happening.
I don't even know, really, for sure.
I have my suspicions.
We will have more discussion on the San Diego Padres on our roundtable. Paulie, enjoy your weekend in Palm
have fun
Springs.
Tomorrow, boys.
Thanks,
come
Paulie.
Back on Monday morning after game one of the NLCS. Talk to you at 6 a.m. or next on the roundtable here on 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, we'll be here tomorrow, too.